Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Greater Works, and we've been looking at the marriage feast at Cana, which John in the second chapter, verse 11, said, this is the beginning of miracles. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And I'm not going to take time to read the passages, but I trust that you're familiar with what occurred. Basically, they were out of wine. Jesus was requested by his mother to do, she told the servants, do whatever he says. And so there was a miraculous turning of water into wine that was of a far better quality than what they had been enjoying. And because of this miraculous sign, which had great significance, this miracle, there is an important understanding that we need to gain from this passage of Scripture. And the first thing that we looked at was, there are numbers of things, but one was, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, was the relationship with the Lord. All of us have, because we are in a growth process, have different qualities of our relationship with the Lord. In other words, there's a different way that He deals with us, which is perfectly, He's always loving, He's always faithful, He's always there. But when we're just babes in Christ, He deals with us one way as a mother, a nursing child. And when we are fully mature, He also expects our relationship is that of a father. And as we really grow in our relationship with the Lord, He'll always be our Father, but it's that kind of love relationship, such an intimacy and such a closeness and such a passionate love for our beloved that we're called the Bride of Christ. That kind of relationships, that intimacy, God likens to a marriage between a man and a woman. Christ being married, if you will, at the great wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven with His bride, which consists of His entire church, praise God, those who love Him and have made Him the bridegroom, hallelujah. And so there was a change in His relationship with His mother. All those years, 30 years, she'd had maternal authority and prerogative over him as his mother, but that authority was coming to an end, and she did not have the right to really speak into what now became the authority of his heavenly father in his life. He always loved and respected his mother, but his primary mission was to do the will of him who sent him. That was his meat. And Jesus, when he was 12 years old, he began to have an understanding that this is what he was to do. That's what he told Mary in the temple. Joseph, know ye not I must be about my father's business? However, it wasn't time. And so in obedience, he went back and subjected himself to that parental authority. And just like us, as we grow in our knowledge and in our maturity, God deals with us in varying ways. Okay, so number one was our relationship with the Lord. Another way is the importance of obedience. So many wonderful lessons we can learn in this passage, because what his mother said in verse 5 to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And Mary urged obedience to the servants because she was beginning to understand and she had faith. And so that's why she said what she did. And Jesus also, we know, commands obedience. And when he made a specific request to fill the water pots with water, he was expecting to be obeyed. And as the servants obeyed, a miracle truly took place. Well, we see that throughout the whole Word of God. Sacrifice that didst thou not desire, but God desires obedience. Remember the lesson that Saul has taught us? When he didn't obey the command of the Lord, the prophet Samuel said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. So, beloved, obedience, because in that obedience, it's not just blindly doing what someone tells you, although in the case of the Lord, we can do it blindly because we know he can be trusted. His character is faithful. We will not in any way be made ashamed. However, when he commands obedience, it's for our own good as well, and it's an expression of our trust and relationship with the Lord. Now, let's go on further. What did Jesus say? He said, there were six water pots of stone, verse 6 says, and they contained two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the water pots with water. And they did that right to the brim, it says. And so water pots, they were storage vessels for ceremonial washing of hands before dinner. There must have been quite a number of people there. And there were 20 to 30 gallons each in those water pots at, 120 gallons apiece. They weren't the normal earthen wine jars, which held about 4 gallons. These were really, really, really big. So what does this speak to us? It shows us the way of the Lord. God is extravagant, and he is exceedingly abundant in whatever he does. Beloved, he has given us richly all things to enjoy. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Beloved, you and I, brother and sister, you're an earthen vessel, and God is pouring, hallelujah, that new wine into us. He's changing the water, if you will, of our carnal person, our carnal nature, into that of a spiritual man. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, and we're to walk after the Spirit if we live in the Spirit, and we live in the Spirit if we're born again. Beloved, God wants us to be so filled with that new wine, with that transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll think differently, we'll speak differently, our behavior will change, we will be anointed, and we will do those works that Jesus has called us to do. Beloved, there's nothing stingy, there's nothing parsimonious about God. God gives exceedingly abundantly. Remember, when he fed the hungry multitude, he turned those little loaves of fish and that bread, he fed a multitude. There were 12 baskets left over of fragments. They ate their fill. A crowd that had been hungry, well ready to eat, and they ate all they wanted, and there was some left over. This is the God that we serve. Remember the widow of Naaman, Elijah, when she obeyed the Lord, she said, well, I'm going to bake a cake, and my son and I are going to die. And he said, the cruse of oil will not fail, and that was miraculously supplied. You've probably heard stories, miracles, of how God has provided supernatural naturally for people when there was a real extreme need and they needed the miracle of God. I've heard of people running, but their car going driving on empty, so because they needed to get to a certain place. Beloved, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has not changed. What he did as written in the pages of his word, if we will have the same kind of faith, if we will allow him to change our lives, and as he did those recorded in the Word of God, we will see those same kinds of signs. The problem is, in this nation especially, we've gotten fat, we've gotten comfortable. Christians have all they need, whatever they need. They've got all the radio and television, Christian ministries available to them. I remember years ago when we were holding services at the Oakland Airport Hilton, we had a Nigerian pastor minister one Sunday morning, and he says, "You have too much." We have so much in this nation. Christian bookstores, getting all the DVDs. There is so much available to us, and we've gotten fat and increased with goods. And because of that, just like Israel, as they settled down and had victory in the Canaan land, they began to feel comfortable, to feel their own hand had done it, and they forgot the Lord. Oh, you say, "Well, Sister Glass, we wouldn't forget the Lord," but are we as zealous for Him? Is that the fire of your first love burning as brightly as it did when you were first saved? I think we all could be brought into conviction, beloved, by the fact that it's possible with trials and battles and the passage of time that we just don't have the zeal. We don't have the single-hearted purpose to give our hearts to the Lord and surrender every aspect of our lives. It's not easy to surrender. We have to die to self. And beloved, that's a crucifixion process, and it hurts. It ain't easy. But beloved, if we will partake of the sufferings of Jesus, we will also partake of His glory. There's nothing we sacrifice for the Lord that He does not reward us 100-fold in this life and life eternal in the next. So beloved, let me tell you, God is not limited, and He wants to pour into you an anointing. He wants to change you utterly, just as He did this astounding thing. Those who knew what were going on, the servants did. When the governor of the feast took it to the bridegroom, he said, "Oh, you saved the best till last, beloved. The best is yet to come." Well, we haven't gotten very far as the teaching that I want to share with you, but I'll pick up tomorrow at the same place, and I guess we're going to go longer than I expected. We may carry this into next week, but that's all right. There's still a lot ahead. Stay tuned. Anyway, I love you, dear ones. Thank you for joining me. And also, hey, if you've got prayer needs, the announcer's going to give our contact information. You also can email me. However, if you provide a mailing address, I respond. I'll acknowledge the email. I'll print it out for prayer, but then I respond back with a letter via snail mail. That has been the ministry for over 50 years, and God has blessed it. So I invite you, hey, become part of the spiritual family. I love you. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.